This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. So welcome to the show. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. Okay, so we've got just tons of things happening here on Agenda 21 Radio. So please visit our website, a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. More spending, more debt, $320 billion blowout. Deal keeps lights on. They came to another agreement. So for a couple more years now, we'll be able to spend, and keep things going. It's copacetic going into, the election year. Gets us past that, huh? So that won't be an issue for either the Republicans or the Democrats, right? Yeah, so they won't be closing down the government, as we've seen in the past, and people have been suggesting that we do. That whole game is over with. We're just going to move on. All right, so we've been talking about what's going on in Puerto Rico, and also in the Brexit. Boris, Bojo, as he's called, Boris Johnson, is now the Prime Minister of England. And that's been kind of a little rocky road show, I guess you could say. We played a little bit of the... I'm going to play just a little bit of a clip. I hardly ever do this kind of stuff on a repeat, but I think it's so important to listen to some of what has happened here. This is the introduction phase of... when they announced it this morning, actually. I was actually watching this. I actually took the time. I do everything on an audio basis. I listen to, four or five different things. Turn up all the volume in my room, and I've got multiple news things. And I catch it all because I can do that. I have that unique capability. to listen to five or six things and input it. That's how my brain just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The brain case swells up. This is the headlines from The Sun. Blowjo blows in. New Prime Minister Boris Johnson anoints himself as, quote, the dude to deliver Brexit and unite the country, defeat Corbyn, and energize as he thumps Hunt. Okay, well, that's his opponent, of course. Jeremy Hunt. Anyway, this is a big story because this is what we're talking about. New California, we're talking about New Illinois and New Nevada, and of course soon to be a new other state movements. This is the big deal that's going on. This is the bigger deal that's going on. Is that this affects the growth of other soon to be new bordered states and countries. I say new bordered. What is happening here is you are seeing Great Britain reclaim its sovereignty. That's really what's happening with Brexit. In the condition of New California, we're going to claim new sovereignty. Okay? We're going to claim new borders, new sovereignty. And also in New Illinois, they're doing the same thing. And in New Nevada, same thing. Claiming new sovereignty. So it's all about reclaiming sovereignty or claiming new sovereignty in this process. And all three of the states soon to be in the United States, and also within the case of Great Britain, they're separating away from socialist institutions. Yes, Illinois is a socialist institution. So is Nevada. So it's certainly California. Socialist, one foot into communism at this point. So this is a good thing to see this sort of thing happening. So dude is really supported by President Trump. And I didn't really kind of know the degree of how this all worked, but I kind of figured it out soon when they were talking about, Bojo is Boris, is very much supported and liked by Donald Trump. Here's the announcement.
Now, I think you've all been waiting long enough. But in the honored tradition, I'm going to ask my beautiful assistant to hand me the envelope for the announcement. It's called teamwork. I, Dame Cheryl Gillan, the joint returning officer for the Conservative and Unionist Party leadership election, declare that the total number of eligible electors was 159,320. The turnout in the election was 87.4%. The total number of ballot papers rejected was 509. And the total number of votes given to each candidate was as follows. Jeremy Hunt, 46,656. Boris Johnson, 92,153. And therefore I give notice that Boris Johnson is elected as the leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party.
Of course, they had the video on there, and Jeremy Hunt, who is seated right next to Boris, Bojo, was classy, very classy. He reached over and shook Bojo's hand. And now the rest, of course, is history. They're sort of in the books on all this whole thing. That this is a little bit of Bojo here before. We don't have enough time to run through the whole thing, but here we go.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Cyril. Thank you, Charles. Thank you very much, Brandon, for a fantastic, fantastically well-organized campaign. I think it did a lot of credit, as Brandon has just said, to our party, to our values, and to our ideals. But I want to begin by thanking my opponent, Jeremy, by common consent, an absolutely formidable campaigner and a great leader and a great politician. Jeremy, in the course of 20 hustings, 20 hustings or hustings-style events, it was more than 3,000 miles, by the way, it was about 7,000 miles that we did crisscrossing the country. You've been friendly, you've been good-natured, you've been a font of excellent ideas, all of which I propose to steal forthwith. And above all, I want to thank our outgoing leader.
So very gracious, Bojo. And he calls himself Dude a little bit later on. I'll let that, you can listen to the replay or the podcast on that one a little bit later. That was in the first hour we played that. It was very good, very, very good. And I liked it. But, you know, again, what he's here for, and this is the whole point behind hearing this, because it's a setup for the rest of the hour, is that he's here to bring in Brexit finally. He's got about 30 days to bring it and make it happen. Because that is what Theresa May could not do. Now, it was he was part of the whole movement to bring Brexit to begin with to the vote in 2016 with Nigel Farage. And Nigel Farage, what, 2 years ago, comes out here and says, hey, let's start California going. Well, let's get two-state solution for California. Two-state solution. Well, that sort of just fizzled out and didn't happen. But it looks like there's going to be a two-state solution for California. It's kind of interesting, that guy just trotting around out here in California, Nigel Farage, who started Brexit. Gee, connect the dot. And now there's new California, the two states, a real, real constitutional movement that's happening. So Nigel Farage is behind. Bojo. They're both. So they've got to bring this one home, and they've got just a few short days to get this one done to make it a deal to separate finally from the European Union. Brexit. We'll be back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you 2 MyPillow premiums for 1 low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's 2 MyPillow premiums for 1 low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-fill pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you 2 MyPillow premiums for 1 low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's 2 MyPillow premiums for 1 low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And what are the grievances it's trying to address?
And how does this highlight the urban and rural divide among voters in California? Are there precedents for forming a new state out of a pre-existing one? And how is the New California Movement relying on the U.S. Constitution to achieve this?
This is American Thought Leaders, and I'm Yanya Kellick.
Today we sit down with Paul Preston, founder and president of the Movement for a New California State. We discuss how realistic the New California Movement actually is, why God would be reintroduced into the preamble of the new state constitution, and how the Reynolds v. Sims 1964 Supreme Court decision undermined the U.S. lowercase r Republican model of governance, leading to the challenges facing many Californians today.
Paul Preston, wonderful to have you on American Thought Leaders.
Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, you're the founder and president of the Movement for a New California State. And this might sound kind of outrageous to many of our viewers.
Right.
Can you tell me what this is all about?
Well, we're actually forming a new state from California. We're in the process of forming a new state from a pre-existing state and following the Constitution. Our Constitution and Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights provides for us to form a new state when the citizens feel compelled to. And so right now, with there's obviously a lot of things going on in California and have been going on in California. There's great unrest with Californians. And we've managed to pull it together over the course of last several years, probably 8 years, to actually get a cohesive state movement together. And there's been a number of other programs. You probably heard about six state, three state, that sort of thing. None of them were constitutional. They didn't pass constitutional muster. And our state movement has passed constitutional muster. We've seen all of our opposition fall off, basically, with their attempts at forming new states because they weren't following the Constitution. So we've adhered to the Constitution, and we're in the process of forming the 51st state.
So California is economically the largest state in America.
Right.
I've read that it's probably, if it were alone, it would be the fifth largest economy in the world. Why is it that you want to break that up?
Well, the economy is not working for most Californians. It's working for very few at the top. That's really what it's coming down to. The middle class has been squeezed out by overtaxation, overregulation. That's been a process that's been going on in California for really the last 25 years. And so now we're at the point where we just really have an elite upper class and a very poor middle or lower class, if you'd say lower class. We have the highest poverty rate of any state. Our homelessness situation is just off the hook. And both major places like San Francisco and really all throughout the state, when you travel the state like I have, I've been to all 58 counties. Poverty really is everywhere. And it's really unfortunate. But so our system and how we got there economically is very much broken. And right now, at this point in time in our state's history, there's, like I said, there's great turmoil. Part of that has been derived from the California's Constitution. And the Constitution that we're technically working under, which is the playbook. You know, how is the state going to be run? The Constitution is your playbook. If you use sports, you have a playbook that you follow. And the Constitution has been amended in this state since 1879 more than 30-plus times. Through propositions and things like that. And that's really had a detrimental effect upon the actual function and the basis for why they had the Constitution. And one of the things that they brought in starting in 1966 was a full-time legislature.
Oh, right.
Now, when you start to think about that, what could possibly go wrong in a state with a full-time legislature? Which means that you have created an enormous bureaucracy, and that enormous bureaucracy has to do something. So what they do is they create laws. That's basically what they're there for. So in 1966, they brought in the professional legislature, which meant that the legislature was going to meet 11 months out of the year. Now, prior to that, our legislature, like in the state of Texas, because we had similar constitutions at the time, we were only meeting once every 2 years as a legislature. But the boom, the explosion of the bureaucracy and the bureaucratic monster, if you will, that we have today started back then. And that kind of folded into another problem, and that was a court decision called Reynolds versus Sims from 1964 that took effect in 1967. So by 1967, when Ronald Reagan was governor for the first year, because he was elected in 1966, we had this confluence and coming together of the Reynolds versus Sims decision and then also this the situation going on with the full-time legislature. And so really we created this monster of bureaucracy that we have today. So that's why the legislature can meet at will today in our term, in our modern day, 2019. And pass a bill within a matter of a couple of days. And they're passing bill after bill after bill after bill. There was over 2,300 bills that were introduced just this legislative cycle, and they predict that there's going to be about 1,500 of those are going to be passed. That's just outrageous. And, of course, when they're passed, you get the regulations, you get the fees, you get all the additional taxes, anything that goes with the bill, and then you get a bloated bureaucracy, which takes energy and it takes money away from the private sector. So that's why businesses are fleeing California. And as we sit here in this room, I look around at the businesses and the signs that are up for lease around this area, beautiful area of California, but it's that way throughout most of California. Businesses cannot stand up to the high taxes, the high regulations and fees that are going on coming from Sacramento. So basically, as we view it in New California, combine that with education, combine that with other parts of the economy, the overregulation, transportation, infrastructure, we take a look at California as a failed state at this point. And that's when we got together and said, there's got to be an answer to this. A lot of us 10 years ago were saying, there's got to be a solution as to how we can make this change. And we looked at it and said, well, we'll pass a constitutional, you know, proposition. And it's, everybody said, well, they've been doing that and ruining basically California through the propositions. What can we do? And said, well, the only thing that we really possibly can do is to take a look at forming a new state. And what would that look like? And as we started to look at it more and more, it made a lot more sense to form a new state from a pre-existing state. And we, because of the attempts at trying to derail Reynolds versus Sims, it really looked like the only possible way we could do it successfully is by forming a new state. So we looked at that and said, okay, how can we do that? We looked at the tools which we had, which was the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. The tools were there. The Founding Fathers put those tools in place for moments like this when a state was in the process of failing. And right now, economically, the economic trajectory for California is it's going to run out of money. It's at that point where Margaret Thatcher says, you know, the state California government is running out of other people's money, and that's going to happen much sooner than people think. And, you know, the reports we get from the field is that there's a lot of, I guess you'd say, people not being paid by the state right now as we speak. So that's called an indicator or a clue that of the economic disadvantages that are going on from the state. They're not paying their bills. But the other part of it is, of course, what's going on to society in general. And when you start taking a look at the overregulation, you start looking at what's going on with crime. And crime in California, regardless of what you're hearing from the state, which you look at this things from the state that come out and you research and you find out it's not really accurate. They basically are trying to cover up a lot of the crime statistics, but crime is growing. And then we're finding out that a lot of the legislative packages include packages are really kind of benefiting the criminal. So when you start taking a look at that, you realize that's failing. So, you know, our response is, well, we need a new constitution, period. We think that a fresh look at a new state, as the constitutional provides, is really the only option that we have left.
When I was learning about the New California Movement, the thing that really struck me was how it's this kind of a rural interior versus coastal urban divide.
Right.
If you can kind of unpackage that for me a little bit, that would be helpful. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right, and that's the core of what we're doing. I mean, there's many core pieces of what we're doing, but this is actually the heart and soul, really, of what we're doing, because in the problems that we have all throughout the nation is you're having a centralization of power that's taking place right within the states themselves. But in Reynolds versus Sims, they decided that counties being represented under the little federal model by senators would be best served if they were representing people only. So in other words, rather than representing a county or the resources or the schools or the economy or everything that has to do with a county and the sovereignty of a county, they looked at it as a population grab. So in other words, senators should have an equal number of people that they represent, and that way they can rule better. that was the thinking. And they didn't touch the federal model, which called for two senators per state, because the founders wanted states to have an equal balance of power when they got into the legislature as a bicameral. And in California, at the time that California was founded, they came up with a formula for 80 assembly members and 40 senators, primarily because we had about 40 counties at the time, so everybody got a senator. And when Reynolds versus Sims came along, they did away with that. They said that one person, one vote, that was their mantra. And so what they did is they divided up the senators in the states by districts, and they gave them numerous counties to represent, and they had a population they had to represent first. Well, you got to think about that, because population was already being represented by the assembly or by the House of Representatives, whatever their state is. They represented the people. So now what you did is you gave the House of Representatives really more humans to be there to represent people as the senators. We have one senator here, and actually it's multiple counties that he represents. One senator in Senate District 1 represents 11 counties in California. And then down, if you go down to San Diego up to Los Angeles, you have 22 senators in just three counties.
So the power in the Senate basically became concentrated in these very urbanized.
Right. And what it's become in most states of the United States is now you have a unicameral legislature. You really don't have the differences in the power sharing that were inherent in a bicameral legislature that had equal power, with the senators representing counties, which represented all the resource, all the commerce, all the things that go into counties. You did away with that. And so that's what's collapsed the system into power spots, centralized governance in the states. In California, you've got Los Angeles, you've got San Francisco and Sacramento. Those are the three power places. If you take a look at New York and Manhattan in upstate, it's all concentrated in Manhattan because all the senators represent people in Manhattan, not in the counties and the counties that are out there in upstate New York. If you take a look at Illinois, Chicago, as is the most populous, Cook County in Chicago is the most populous state. So it has all the resources. And all the rural areas of Chicago don't have those resources, and they're fighting. They've actually started a new Illinois movement based upon our model, because in our model we restore the one senator for one county situation. We bring that back, and I'll talk about that in a second.
You're actually challenging Reynolds versus Sims.
Absolutely. And there's a unique way.
And that's not just for California. It's for
other states, right? Yeah, and there's numerous movements that have now developed that people are calling us and using us as a resource. New Illinois is really the one that's the most furthest along. They actually have a resolution before their state assembly right now that they're bringing out. Then you have New Hawaii. They want to join. We actually had New Nevada actually did declare independence, and they're working on getting their counties together. New Oregon and New Washington have shown interest, and they want to be a part of this. So it's growing is what's happening. And there is a new New York group of people, too.
You know, aside from, staging a coup or something like that, it doesn't sound like that's anything like what you're planning to do.
No.
It sounds like you're planning to, use the rules in the Constitution and legislative approaches to do this. it seems like you would actually need the California legislature to pass legislation to allow this to happen. So forgive me for being skeptical, but I don't see that happening.
No. Well, it will. And they're in an impossible situation. We understand that, and we're basically here to help them more than hurt them or to bury them or something like that. But the economy for California is tumbling so far out of control. They need help, and we understand that. But with the Reynolds versus Sims decision and going in conflict with a big federal model that was put down to the little federal model, we do have that opportunity because we are following the Constitution. I want to speak about that for a second because this is really important that we follow the Constitution in New California and that we also have declared that we are going to be a part of the United States and be under the auspices of the United States Constitution, and we will follow those laws as opposed to other movements that haven't done that. And, of course, that's where you get into things like coup. You know, you mentioned coups because when you start to listen to some of the voices of leadership in those groups, they're really talking about coups because they're not talking about using the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution as the tool to form a new state. And that's where the Founding Fathers knew there would be moments like this. If you have a tyrant in a given state as a governor, you have tyranny that's washed, the people can do something about it. So what the Constitution calls for in Article 4, Section 3, is that the people can form a state from a pre-existing state by directly going at the legislature and dealing with the legislature concerned. So we have an opportunity as citizens to not appeal to our state representatives in our own districts per se, but as a whole group of counties, which we have represented, we don't work with the governor. The governor is irrelevant in the process, and the executive branch is irrelevant in the process, and the courts are irrelevant in the process of getting approval, seeking approval of the state legislature. So that is our goal, is that we will be working with, hands-on, with the state legislature as citizens from the counties concerned. And that's how we'll get approval. And it's a resolution that has to be passed in the Assembly and also in the Senate. And we think that the circumstances are coming together quite nicely right now for those events to take place. And they're taking place right now. We've already had some discussions with state legislators. We're not dealing with government agencies or even at the county level because they're irrelevant in the process. We want to get their support ultimately. And that's what we want, is their support, but we're not going to go actively after it. And the reason being is that they're part of the problem. You know, the Founding Fathers don't want us to work with the problem makers if you're forming a new state, you know, because you want to be free from that. And your opportunity to do so is to work directly with the legislators concerned. After that, we go to the Congress. We'll get approval, and I'll explain that in a second. But then the next step of Article 4, Section 3 is that we seek approval from the Congress. And we've already started that process as well. We're in contact with certain members of Congress at this point in time. And we are absolutely being overwhelmed with support. At this point, we're actually getting overwhelming support from the people that we're talking with. And we're finding overwhelming support with the general public when we go out and meet with them. We're getting more and more proactive in that regard. But getting back to the point about the state legislature, we understand the positions they're going to be in because there won't be the money that they thought that there was going to be. And we're here basically not to just help ourselves out and improve our lot as New Californians in the rural area, because that's our focus. We're here to help them too. So we want to make it a win-win situation at the state separation. But the big thing that we're doing is that divide of rural versus urban. And that is the problem with Reynolds versus Sims, because, you know, as I was talking about before, you had that situation with one senator representing 11 counties. There's no representation. We bring that all back. We return that because in our state formation process, we're following in the historical footsteps of three other states who did this before. It's only been tried three times. And the last time was with West Virginia at the time of the Civil War. And in the West Virginia situation, they followed the other models that they saw, and they got together with their own people in their own counties, counties did the work. The committees in the counties did all the work with the legislature. They were the ones meeting with the legislatures. But in the case of West Virginia, it was a very unique case. There was a great deal of obviously animosity, and you know, civil war was at hand. In fact, there was a lot of bloodletting in Virginia, in West Virginia at the time when all this was happening, actually. But the West Virginians did not want to become part of the plantation mentality of the South. So they did not want to secede from the Union as Virginia did. And so they were forming their own state, built more in the reflection of Ohio and in Pennsylvania. And so when they came to the point where they were going to actually declare the separation and work with the legislature, Virginia pulled away and became part of the South, leaving them high and dry. So they met and they said, what are we going to do about this? They went to the Congress and the Congress said, no, you can't be a state, or you can't approach us until you satisfy Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. You have to work with the state legislature. And so what happened was one of the guys stood up and said, Pierpont was his name, he raised his hand and said, I'll be the governor of the restored government of Virginia. And everybody looked around at him like he's crazy. And he said, no, I'll do that. And you can be a lieutenant governor and a secretary. So they put together a makeshift government, and they called it the Restored Government of Virginia. They appealed to the Congress, and the Congress let them in. And so it was at that point that West Virginia went to the Restored Government of Virginia, and they got the authority. They got a resolution passed that allowed them to go on to the Congress. So that was in 1861, 62. By 1863, the Congress had granted them statehood. Now, we are in the exact same situation in California. There's so much tension. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. There's civil unrest brewing. You know, we have the sanctuary state thing going on. And one of the arguments that we make there's three major arguments that we make for statehood in New California. One, this all hinges on Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, that's the guarantee clause. That one, we are not being given a representative government. In other words, a Republican form of government. That's exactly what it states.
So there's some kind of, you know, you mentioned tyranny earlier. So this is kind of the tyranny of the majority being enforced on everyone?
Right.
Okay.
Of the minority, actually. It's the legislators and those leaders that are foisting the tyranny upon us. And they're using a system that doesn't have a Republican form of government. See, the United States and California, all the states, are not democracies. We hear the term democracy being used all the time, but a democracy is a dictatorship. So when they broke down the little federal model and we got Reynolds versus Sims and the senators all became representatives, literally, of people, just like the assembly members, then you pulled all that power together for the people and not for the resources. So that's a tyranny, and that's a democracy. You lost the power of the representation of the counties, and you gave the representatives, the people, more power. And the Founding Fathers did not want that. They understood what a tyranny was, and that if you had all your power concentrated in a centralized area, then all the people in the rural areas, all the people with the natural resources, and all the natural resources would soon come under the power of just the people. I mean, one man can't represent 11 counties properly for the resources. That's a fact. So this is what we have now, is that tyranny that's here, and they're passing laws that are very egregious. They're not guaranteeing our safety in public here in California any longer. We're certainly not free from invasion. I mean, when the government of California openly induces and offers enticements for people to come swarming across our borders, that's not protecting us from invasion, which is the second guarantee in the guarantee clause. The third one is to keep us free from civil unrest and freedom from violence. And those are the three elements, and right now that's not happening. You can ask Kate Steinle's family if that's happening. If you take a look at the sanctuary state status, it's not constitutional by any stretch of the imagination. And this government has been warned by the current president and the current executive about violations of Article 6, which is the supremacy clause. So those are the three elements that we're arguing, is that we are not being guaranteed a Republican form of government. We're not being guaranteed freedom from invasion, and we're not being guaranteed against domestic violence. So all those are blown up, and that's where we're coming from. Now, how are we going to get that back? We're going to be the first state since West Virginia to follow the model into statehood, and we're following pretty much their model. In fact, we've had a Declaration of Independence. We declared our independence on January 15th, 2018, which is exactly what we should be doing. All the states, all the countries around the new world that declared their independence did that first before they became a nation or a state. And then the other part of it is we are in the process of not only following that model, we know we're going to get there because, and this is the hook for Reynolds versus Sims. The last state to come into this union by territory was Hawaii. That was 1959, predating Reynolds versus Sims. We are coming in post-dating Reynolds versus Sims, and what we have done already is we, to set up our own government, we have asked our county chairman to assign, to select and elect a senator for each county. So we've already got our senators in place, and we've got two assembly members as a startup for a government. And we're going to challenge Reynolds versus Sims because we believe that we have a 10th Amendment right which supersedes that decision to have representation the way we deem it to be effective for our state.
It's very interesting. So the big question in my mind at this point is, how can you be sure that what you're doing is actually representing the will of the Californians that are living in all these rural counties that are looking to form this new state?
How can we do that? Well, you know, and again, we got a little thing going on here.
And that's really, that's a timing issue, actually. I think 5 years ago, people would be scoffing and laughing at this. And, of course, I was with other organizations at the time because we had this vision. We could see that forming a state and setting up new borders and joining the union, becoming an additional state in the union of 50, now becoming 51, would strengthen the whole unity of these 50 other states and our own. And in a time of the globalists, and the globalists want to dissolve boundaries, especially California borders, it's pretty well known, this wasn't really featured years ago. And now, all of a sudden, people are understanding there are these globalists who have these ill intent for our country. And it's actually working, and you can see that working going effect with jobs leaving our country. The president has brought a lot of that back now, but the destabilization of our borders, which is where we're at right now, is a big part.
It's a values thing, basically, right? It's people seeing a different vision for the future of
right.
the state of the country. But how is it? You said it's a timing issue. How is it that all of these the new representatives, how are they and you connecting with the people?
Well, and that's the big quest that we're on right now. When we first started New California and how we went about it, we asked counties to commit by signing documents and so on, and we asked the representatives to, as county chair, and then become senators. We're doing that outreach right now. This is where we're going to start. Really, we've been doing a lot of it, but we're doing more of it now. We've got the counties. I don't think we're going to grow any more beyond the 52 whole or part of the counties. Now, keep this in mind. L.A. County is part of New California, the rural area of L.A. County, which is the northern tier, Assembly Districts 36 and 38. And the reason is it's rural. And so you can propose any border you want. So all the rural areas that are of California, which is about 85% of the land mass, you'll have about 18 million people versus 21 million people in the L.A. Basin, San Francisco, and Sacramento. We have population parity, but it's that population of people, the 18 million, that we're appealing to. And so far, we've gotten, any place we go, we have gotten massive outreach and support success. I mean, it's just when they hear about it. You know, we've been kind of keeping it low right now because we're building and we're getting...
Basically, you've built the infrastructure
right.
for all of this to basically come into place, and now you're working to let people know that this is even a possibility, because I suspect
right.
for most folks, this is just not even in their realm of conception, right?
Well, you know, it's what we're getting now. We got laughed at, scoffed at. No one's doing that now. No. People are going... come here and tell us more. We want to know more. And it's resonating. And it's a timing issue. And we knew it would be a timing issue. We planned it years in advance to be here right now at this point in time. And we're here. And it's working.
Because things have kind of gotten to that point
right.
where something may turn around or something may change.
Right. Well, people, I think, sense that, what we just witnessed with the president, and I never thought we'd ever see something like that. And I was around when Kennedy was assassinated, and everybody said that was a coup. That it was. It was an attempted power play, and time and history are showing that. But really, right in front of our faces, we have seen really the first ever coup d'etat attempt on a sitting president. Actually, wasn't even seated when the whole thing started, as we're finding out. I mean, this is just outrageous times. So
you're talking about, you know, Spygate, Russia
collusion,
this
whole
realm.
Yeah, all that stuff, right, all that stuff. And one of the things that I do a radio show called Agenda 21 Radio, and I've been doing this for years as a result of my interpretation of events and seeing these kind of things starting to move forward, the rise of the totalitarians, the globalists, and things like that. And now they've risen, and now they're being confronted. And as with all totalitarians, and I'm sure you understand this, they overplay their hands. And you've seen them overplay their hands, I think, with President Obama, and then the as things moved on and progressed. That's why I say we could see this coming. It's pretty obvious if you looked at the Cold War situation or lived through all that, it was going to happen here. It was bound to, and it has happened. And now the tide has turned. But the whole Spygate thing, as it's being known now, was clearly a real official coup d'etat. And so...
Attempt.
But, see, that's played into what's happening in California and the other states because people are waking up to this whole thing. Like, wait a minute. Why back in the 60s did they come up with Reynolds versus Sim to concentrate all the powers in the states, centralized government, which, of course, we all know that it happens with centralized government. It never works. The autonomous counties, which is the root of all liberty and freedom in the United States, is really where it's at. So the rural areas, their balance of power was taken away, and this we got the power that was sucked in. So that's why we're doing what we're doing with rural versus urban, and that's the core essence of what we're doing. So we have all these counties. We're doing the outreach right now. We've had three constitutional conventions. We passed numerous resolutions, and the resolutions that we passed, one of the first ones we passed was to accept the Declaration of Independence that we put out. The next one was to put God in the preamble, and then we came up with a third resolution. This was in the second constitutional convention to cover our bases, because if there is an insurrection and if the president has to sign the Insurrection Act and there is an actual insurrection, we put out already a resolution and mailed it to him, letting him know that we would form a restored California government, just like there would be if something happened to the California government. And then we passed additional resolutions that we actually have presented to the president, and those resolutions are freedom from, or to guarantee that he has to guarantee. The president of the United States, he swears an oath, and the president has to guarantee. And this is what people don't understand, I think, about the president and the border and all this stuff. He has sworn an oath that he has to protect the borders. That's his job. And that's the second thing it says in that guarantee clause. Not only does he have to guarantee a Republican form of government, which many states don't have right now, but he has to guarantee us freedom from invasion and then domestic violence. And that's his job. That's his responsibility. So we passed three resolutions requesting that he do that. And we sent those to him, and he's got possession of them today.
One last question. Why is it so important to you to put God back in the preamble?
Well, the founders were godly people, and they were Christian faith, and they were Protestants. Most of them were Protestants. And as you take a look at the Declaration of Independence, there were 56 founders who wrote the Declaration, who were part of it. And certainly Thomas Jefferson gets a lot of plaudits, but 56 of the founders, 54 were Protestants, and one was a Catholic and one was a Jew. And when we did that, we thought, wait a minute, you know, a lot of people don't understand that through every constitution in every one of the 50 states, They mention God in the very first part of their constitution, in the preamble. So we're doing the same thing. We're being consistent. We want to follow in the footsteps of the other founders of all the other states and also our founding fathers, because we look at the world that they created with their faith and look at the United States of America, what it's been. And it's all been attacked. Right now, I used to be in education. I was an educator for 41 years, custodian to superintendent. And I saw the wiping out of constitutional concepts in the education systems to where our constitution, that's another part of our education system, is a failing system, and people don't understand how the constitution works and why it should work. So that was a very important element to put that in there. The other resolutions, of course, passed without any problem, but the God mention, it was a very, very important one for all of us, because I think we need to go back to that. And we need to go back to our roots and our heritage as a nation, because it's worked very, very well. It's the only model for freedom and liberty that's out there, and we have to keep it healthy. And to keep it healthy means that we're going to grow a new state and add to the states that are already in this union of 50. We'll be the 51st state, New California.
Paul Preston, I'm very excited to learn what comes next with your movement.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that was American Thought Leaders, and that was I wanted to play that because it's so poignant. And don't worry, we'll get to 77 and 78 in terms of the grievances. But I just with all the discussion about Brexit and all the things that are going on with Brexit right now, I thought it was very, very important to put that out there, because we're kind of part of that Brexit thing. You know, we're breaking the mold of the centralized governance systems. That's what we're doing. And again, power being consolidated in centralized areas is ultimately leads to communism and totalitarianism. So, and that's what we are standing against, obviously, is totalitarianism and communism. Just a few things. Anyway, we got a lot of things going on, and we want you to invite you to go to the website, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, to listen to this again if you want to, and to glean as much as you can. There's going to be a whole bunch more videos and a lot of other things happening in the next weeks and months ahead, because we're kind of finalizing some things for New California, which is wonderful. But today we'll be reading grievance number 78, and you can check it out on the website, newcaliforniastate.com. It's out. The final publication will be out in about 10 minutes, so you can check it out on the website if you want to. Also, all the other website or all the other grievances are up there. It's not just 77 and 78. We have 1 through 77. Posted right now. 78, one, number 78 will be up in a few minutes. But I suggest you start reading. And by the way, there's a short you can take a shortcut. There's a summary. You can read the summary if you want to of all the different grievances and how they interconnect with one another to form a complaint, basically. Complaints, 77 of them so far. Official complaints by New California against California. And that's part of the process for the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was made into a process, which is something that the California people don't want. They don't want process being worked against them. And we're not really here to hurt or destroy California. We're here to help California and to help all those people that live in rural America. America. Yeah, the new Nevada and new Illinois movements are strong. I suggest you go to the websites and check them out. New Nevada and newnevada.com and also newillinois.com. And check out what's going on. They had New Illinois had a huge gathering on Saturday. I was a guest speaker by Skype, and it turned out to be marvelous. Hundreds of people had to stand outside and stand in line just to get to hear me on a recorded Skype about the message of statehood. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.